Sorry. Hello, JCM. All right, we got a newly married couple in the house. Okay, and I want to invite them up, Norberto and Monica, if you guys could please come up together. Come on up together. Give them a round of applause. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. The new haircut. Yeah. All right, if you guys don't know them, if you guys don't recognize them, Monica has been in this church for a long time, much longer than me, but Norberto is from Mozambique, so this past year she's been commuting to Mozambique and back and forth, so she's been out quite a bit. Norberto is from Mozambique, he grew up there, and he just recently moved here. They were married in September, and so what I want us to do, I want the prayer team to come up and just bless them. We don't have that many married couples in here, so prayer team, come on up. So rather than giving you like a marriage blessing, we want to bless you guys with just prayers of fellowship and love. If you guys don't know, Norberto and Monica, God has anointed them, and they go around, they speak at many churches and conferences. So oftentimes where they go, it's constantly them giving, 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 and it's usually to people who only speak Korean. So Norberto is very alone. So he's more at home in this place, and we want to pray that blessing. He feels at home here, that he feels a part of this body, that just the brotherhood, the sisters, that we just really come around them and bless them and support them through the ministry God has given them. So what I want JSM to do is just stretch forth your hands, okay? I'm going to invite Marcus and Myung-ho up as well. Marcus, Myung-ho, why don't you guys come up as well? Okay, just stretch forth your hands. Let's just pray a blessing over them, their marriage. Let's pray. Encourage them always. Let's pray that they feel at home in this place, that they receive encouragement and strength from us. Let's just bless them. Let's pray.
Thank you, Father God, that you have anointed them, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you have anointed them, Lord God, to go out and proclaim your name, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you have, Father God, anointed them, Lord God, to just be, Father God, displays of your splendor, Lord God. Just, Father God, that they would reflect your glory, Lord God. And, Father God, we just pray a blessing over them right now, Lord God. We as a church, Lord God, we bless them, Lord God. We pray for your loving kindness, God, over them, Lord God, in an overflow, God, that would just pour out of their lives, Father God, into each and every person, Lord God. May they go out, Father God, and transform lives, Lord God. May, Father God, we just pray for them, Lord, that you would just pour out a mighty outpouring on them, Lord God. That, Father God, they would just go out, Lord God, and be lampstands, Lord God, forever burning for your glory, God. May you continually bless them, Lord. May you bless their marriage, Lord God. May it be, Father God, just a marriage of love, Lord. And, Father God, may it be a shining example of your love, Lord. Oh, Father God, you being the bridegroom, Father God, and you waiting for us, Lord. You're standing there for us, Lord. I just pray, Lord God, that they will be a shining example of that, Father God. We just thank you, Lord, for them, Father God. We bless them right now, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
you guys. That was really sweet. Can I ask whoever was playing piano just to continue and just play, please? Thank you. Oh. God is blessed. Why we don't just close our eyes, you know, and just continue to be soaked in His love, in His presence. Jesus, we welcome Your kingdom. Give us the permission to pray for Your kingdom to come. Done, but we're also praying that Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Which means if Your kingdom comes and Your will be done on earth, that means the earth will become like a heaven. Which means we don't have to worry anymore about anything, God. We will not live any longer as beggars. Because our Father is here. Jesus, I know what it means to be a beggar because I used to live in the street before. But since the day I met You, I don't even want to use the word beggar anymore because I'm a son in the house. And I don't have to beg my Father for something because You love me and I love You too. So sweet presence of heaven, we ask You to come and just go deep in the deepest place of our hearts and just release a healing that will cause us to be close to our Father in a way that we've never been before. We ask You for a deep healing that will cause us to cry with a loud voice, Abba, Daddy, we love You. The Spirit that it calls us sons and daughters, not orphans, not even servants, but the friends. Because You said servants don't even know what their master's doing. But I call you guys from now on my friends. We've been elected. We have been chosen as the friends of the groom. Shit. Just like in my wedding day with Monica, we had the groomsmen and the bridesmaid. You have called us to stand alongside You to welcome the bride together. Shandai, Holy Bushka. Remove from our hearts all the orphan spirit. We say, let go of the children. Let go of the children. I pray for the spirit of accepting ourselves to begin to take place in our own hearts. I pray that we will have this spirit that will make us get up in our bed every day and look at ourselves in the mirror and say, I look cute. The spirit that doesn't need, you know, we don't even need people to lift us up, to tell us that we look beautiful. That when someone else says you look beautiful, you can say, thank you, you're already repeating what I know about myself. So Lord, help us. And I pray that we'll help You by believing. We love Your sweet presence of Jesus. Your kingdom come. And Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So help us to pray like You. I pray that we will not go in a different direction. Sometimes we really pray to come to heaven and You pray for heaven to come down. Come, Holy Spirit. Let it be an increase. Let it be an increase. Increase that brings healing. Increase that brings revival that is unstoppable. A revival that will confuse the scientists. Revival that will confuse the religious spirit. And yeah. Thank you, Jesus, that we're special. Very, very, very special. We have been chosen. Not just called, but chosen also. Because you said many are called, but few are chosen. You called us and you chose us. We're special. I'm very special. And you're very special. You're here. Not because you're a sinner, because you're special. He didn't die for sin, he died for his lovers. The Bible didn't say, for God so saw the sin. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It's for love that Jesus dies, not just for the sin, because you know, the sin is still here. But it's for love that Jesus died to redeem the sin from our lives. He did not die for the sin. He died for us. So we said, thank you for dying for us. That we're not longer God. Just wait for someone else to go into the temple. We can come straight and talk to you. We can just come to you. So thank you for dying for us. And thank you for giving us the spirit to overcome sin. We love you and we bless you. Can you just turn around and tell someone else something? I won't tell you, but just tell them something special. Give them a word from your heart, please. I want you to turn around, give a special word to someone. Very special word. A nice word. A loving word. You know what's hard sometimes is when people think that Jesus only died for sin. And it's hard for us to receive his love and his presence because we only think that Jesus died for sin. But Jesus did not die for sin. He died for you and I. He gave his life for me. That's what my Bible tells me. I mean, I know we have a lot of different versions. Some say thy God, some say the God, and some say many things. But the Bible I read, it says that Jesus gave his life for me because I'm very special. It's not because I was never special, it's because I'm always have been special to God. But I never knew that I was special until Jesus came into my life. He revealed everything. It's like he took the lens out of my eyes for me to see what was invisible or what it was hard for me to see. So sometimes when we come before our Father, we really need to begin to use the language of heaven and forget about the language that we use. Don't call yourself stupid when you come before the Lord. Don't call yourself stupid. He doesn't like it. I'm going to be straight with you. He doesn't like when you come before him and kneel down and say, Lord, I'm so stupid. He doesn't like that. He doesn't. But sometimes we think that's the only way we can get close to the Father. No, you don't have to say that. You're not stupid. God, I'm nothing. I'm so stupid. I feel like I'm a trash. Where does the Bible talks about the trash? The treasure goes to the fire. Oops. He said, every branch that doesn't bear fruit, it goes out to the fire. And he prunes everyone that it bears fruit, which means the fruit of the Spirit, it's love, gentleness. It's not stupid things. So sometimes I listen to people when they pray and I feel bad for them. And they just tell God, God, I'm so stupid. I come before you as this very stupid person and I just need your love. And God is sitting in heaven. He's like, how long until you know that you're very precious to me? How long until you come into a place of knowing that you are my daughter and I'm your father? I'm not your stepdad. I'm not your stepfather and you're not my niece. You're not my grandchildren. You are my son and you are my daughter and whom I love and whom I'm well pleased. That's the language of heaven. It's not the language of the earth. So in heaven, you will never find anyone say, I come before you as this. They say, Lord, I come before you, for you are worthy and holy. And I know you have called me by name. I'm here before you, God, because of what you have done for me. It's not because of what I say, but because of what you have done for me. So we need to change the language that we speak so heaven can even keep coming on into us. Because as long as we still use the language of this place where we live, the heaven is always going to be far away from us. That's why so many people don't know that God is so close to them. They always think Father God is up there in heaven waiting for the day we die and then him sitting on a chair and said, who has done this? You know, go to my left if you have done wrong and then to my right for this. You know, it's nothing to do with that. It's something to do with love. We need to be confident. This is one thing, you know, that's why when they ask me about the title of the message and I'm like, I don't know many times because I pray and I will have a verse. But every time I go to a church, and then I begin to see what the Spirit is doing in a church. The Spirit tells me to move the same way that God is moving in a church. So that's why I don't give people titles. I'm like, oh, verses, because I may give you a verse and I may not use it. Because I always have learned since the day Father God called me, I have called you to be like my son. You only need to do what you see me do, not what you think you can do for me. See, I was trying to really, I've taught this in so many places that the difference with us today in the New Testament with the people of the Old Testament is that people in the Old Testament, they only did what God required from them. But today we bring a lot of stuff before God and we say, you just take it and be pleased with it. When people even fasted in the Old Testament, God needed to tell them what to eat. When the priest went into the Holy of Holies, to the tabernacle, God told him what to eat, what clothes he needed to wear. Everything God had to explain to him what he needed to eat before he went in. And then he did it exactly how God wanted and God came. But you begin to look at even the life of Moses. Moses, God, he went up into the mountain and God spoke to him about going to Egypt. And Moses went to Egypt. He served the Lord really well. He helped the Israelites to cross the Red Sea. And God gave him a lot of anointing. And he was a great leader. And the first time the Israelites were thirsty, and then God spoke to him, you take your staff at the rock and let the water come out. And the water came out and they drank the water and it was done. But the second time, problem came. God told Moses, he said, I want you to gather all the people in one place. All the leaders, everyone, I want to do something different this time. Moses, I want you to gather the people before my presence. I want you to speak to the rock and the water will come out. And Moses, he goes, yes, Lord, I will do so. He gathered everyone and people came. And Moses took the staff, bang, bang, to the rock. And the water gushed out. It is true that people had water to drink, but Moses had consequences with the Lord. He came and said, Moses, I told you to speak to the rock. I was going to be glorified. I was going to be glorified by the Israelites in a different way. I wanted them to look at me that I don't do the same thing every day. I'm the same yesterday and today and forever, but I don't do the same thing every day. I do different things because I'm God. I have all the power. I ask you to speak to the rock, not to hit the rock. Because of this, Moses, you will not continue. And it was taken from Moses, passed on to Joshua. Boom, that's it. He didn't go to hell, but he did not go into the promised land. So sometimes, not even sometimes actually, all the time, we really need to hear what the Father's doing. We need to see what the Father is doing. We need to do exactly so we will move with the Father. That's why in some places you see a lot of amazing miracles. You wonder why. It's because of obedience. See, we need to have faith to believe in everything that Jesus said. People in the Old Testament, if you read the prophets, I mean, even like you look at Daniel and then you look at, you know, Joseph, all these leaders, Elijah, all these people, when God told them, I want you to go to the king and tell him if he doesn't do this and this and this, this is what will happen to his life. He will go direct and tell him exactly what God told him. But if God will speak to you and he say, go and tell Norberto Sango that if he doesn't stop doing this and this, he will die. You know what you're going to try to do? You're going to try to be more gentle than God. You're going to come to me and say, Roberto, I feel like if you continue and do this, you never know. One day you may die. But God didn't say, I feel. He said it. Go and tell him. When we want to be used by God, we need to let God use us. How many of you have been in a massage place? Massage. Just a normal massage place. When you go to a massage place, you have two choices. To have a good massage or a bad massage. To have a bad massage, don't relax. To have a good massage, relax. Let them do what they want. But if you try to hold your butt, it becomes hard for them to do their work. Sometimes I feel like we're the same. God wants to do something. Say, Lord, use me. But when God holds my hands to move it some places, I make it very hard. Because I'm afraid. It's fear. I have a fear that they may get mad at me. You see, I'm not afraid of anybody. If God told me, said, today go and tell them, if they don't do this and this and this, I will bring a lightning and I will strike all of them down. I would definitely come here and tell you. Or if I don't do it, I'll be in trouble. Which means if I don't tell you what God told me, I will be in that place. God will take me down too. Read the Bible. Read the story about even the life of Eli, how God told him to do things concerning his children. He let his children, you know, have sexual relationship with women in the temple, taking the tithe or the offering and using the money. And God said, because you have not obeyed me, I will take you down. You and your whole family. All of them died. The power of obedience, it brings the everlasting revival. If we want revival that has no holiday from heaven, it needs to come with the obedience. Obedience, it's an everlasting revival that brings healing. I mean, it does everything because it comes with obedience. That's why Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. And it was very easy for Jesus to heal the sick. When I'm reading the Bible, Jesus didn't even pray for the sick. He didn't pray for the sick. He prayed to the Father. And he just cast out demons and he said, okay, be healed. He didn't pray. Because he didn't strive. You know, but you know, have you imagined how we do things? In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, of Israel, of Jerusalem. You know. And I know we're getting there, you know, we're learning, we're children, we're in school. But make sure we don't stay in the same class for so long. Serious. Don't be in a fifth grade for 10 years. Can be embarrassing. You know, 50 years old guy in the fifth grade, it's kind of like, they're like, are you a teacher here? You're like, no, I'm one of the students that go, oops. He loves us. He's willing to give us more. But God is looking for responsible people. God is looking for people who's going to be responsible for the anointing. See, the greatest anointing, it comes with the greatest price. I think sometimes when I look at the church today, I'm like, we're not ready. We really want revival, but we're not ready for the consequences that will happen. Sometimes we're not ready for what it's going to happen during the revival. The disciples, they were ready. People persecuted them. People insulted them. People say all kinds of things about them. But they never gave up. They only always gave in to the Lord. So when I look at sometime, I'm like, we sing songs, we cry out to God. And I look at it and I said, do we really know what we're asking? Do we really know what we're asking? But Father loves us so much, sometimes He doesn't give us to protect us. You see, let's imagine you have a 10-year-old boy and he come to you and say, Daddy, can I have your car keys, please? I want to go for a drive. And you look at him, you go, I love you so much, but you're not ready to drive. But one day you will. But now I cannot. But some of the fathers, because their kids cry and they get too emotional, it's like, okay, just take the key, turn, just don't move the car. Yeah, the kid may not move the car, but because the car has been put in a place to move itself, it will move itself. But you need to know one thing, the child will die and the car will be crushed. Father God, it protects us from getting killed. The anointing, if you're not careful, can kill you. It's a lot of power beyond humans' understanding. See, the power of God is beyond everything. It's not something that you can take it for granted. It's very powerful. The power of God, it's not something that you can take it for granted. It's the power that created the whole world. The power is the Word of God, and it's very powerful. So sometimes we do ask things, and it takes so long for us to receive. It's because God is trying to protect us. But when you're ready, the time will come. And when that time comes, there will be a lot of things also happening. But you need to learn how to endure and all that. Can you imagine the life of David before he became a king? Living in a jungle, being chased by the soldiers of Saul, get threatened every single day. But he knew that God called him to be a king. But he waited. He waited. He went through a lot of stuff. For 13 years, I've been working with IRS. The first time I had a radical visitation of Papa Jesus in 97 when I was 17. That's when he spoke to me about a lot of things for ministry. And then I had a lot of people prophesy, God is going to use you to travel around the world and preach. And I remember getting so anxious. And can you imagine for 13 years and you just keep waiting. People keep prophesying, And I remember one time I cried. I said, God, enough of these prophetic words. I don't want to hear anything. I'm sick and I'm tired of it. Stop with them. I'm not even going anywhere. And God said, when I spoke, I didn't say, go. I said, I am going to use you. You need to prepare yourself for what is to come. A good soldier gets trained well before he goes to the battlefield. So when he goes, he will know how to use the weapon because you know what? You can press that thing and the weapon can turn and kill you. You see, we need to be aware of what we do and what we ask for. So I waited for so long. And I kept on waiting. Just keep waiting. I knew I had an anointing to pray for the sick. But I was a driver. I got so frustrated sometimes. Mama had to be like, you take a truck. I want you to drive people to outreach. I had young people coming from the States. Coming, you know, and just go and teach at the Holy Giving School. They would do things, and I'm like, I'm Mozambique, and I'm anointed. And these young people come here, and they do things. And I got upset, and God said, become a better student. You'll be a good teacher. And this is what I began to tell people back home. I had people come and ask me to teach them to play guitar. And I said, in order for me to prove that I'm a teacher is when you begin to play. Until you play, don't call me a good teacher. When you begin to play guitar, then I will know that I'm a teacher because you'll be doing what I've been teaching you. Don't take pride before you do something, before you see something happen also. So I waited for a long time. Just keep praying. Just keep driving the truck, driving people to the outreach, organizing weddings and doing stuff, and just keep serving, cleaning the benches. It was frustrating. It didn't take very long. The Lord one day said, hey, I want you to have a trip with me. We're going to go to America. You're going to preach. Me? It's like, yeah. I went and I preached and miracles happened. I'm like, God, that was cool. He said, the good thing is that you waited for it. And right now, that the anointing is even increasing. More responsibility is increasing in me. Becoming even more aware, like, it's not, like, people are watching me. Every day I sit down with my wife, I say, Monica, we need to get ready, people. There's like, it's like going to the bank. You may think you can pull up your gun and do whatever you want, your pistol, but you don't know there are cameras watching you. There are people watching us everywhere. You see, it can be so good when we're in a church. But you know what? Better Christian life, actually I found out, is when we're outside of the church. That's when you can prove yourself to you a good Christian. When people step on you on the traffic. When you're in the bank, consider others better than yourself. I remember when we were driving and my wife was like, we're late. I said, we're not late. We're in time. We're using the time of heaven. I don't know what time it is. So we're in time. But I told my wife, I said, Monica, please, let's drive slowly. We have two choices, Monica, to make it to the church or not make it to the church. I said, please, take it easy. And when things like this happen, I fall asleep. And all of a sudden, I just fall asleep in the car. I really don't like pressure. My wife knows I don't like pressure. I can stay 20 minutes, even say, no, but it's time for you to preach. It's already 20 minutes past. I'm like, please, shh. When you're not a boss of a company, you never take a paper and go and do a meeting without your boss telling you what he wants you to do. Even if you think you know, don't do it. So I wait upon the Lord. I say, Lord, I have 66 books on the Bible. And thousands or maybe millions of verses. I can open anyone and read. But Lord, you know the desires of their hearts. I don't know them. You know the inside. I only know the outside. You know what they want better than I do. You go into the inner being. I only look the outside of them. So Lord, I want you to speak anything that if it was you walking in flesh, whatever you would like to say to the church, that's what I want to say. I want to say exactly what you want because you know each one of us individual. You know our hearts. You know how hungry we are after you. But God, you know us. And I don't want to just go to a church and try to preach this nice message. Everybody say, hey, Monica, your husband is amazing. I say, Lord God, I don't want to please man. I want to glorify you. Whatever I do is to please God. If a man is happy in what I do, let them be happy. If they're not happy, forget it's not about you. It's about Jesus, but it's for you. You see, sometimes we need to understand. This is something that I pray all the time. I'm like, I don't need pressure. I don't need pressure. Sometimes people look, you need to preach. I said, I need to wait until I hear from the Lord. What do you want me to say? It's not for my own to make decision. It's not my kingdom. It's His kingdom. He's the King. I don't just decide what I want to preach because I don't want to do my only things. I want to do what I see the Father do. When you move with Jesus, there's more power than when you move in your own. There's power when we move with Jesus. There is power when we cry out to Jesus. There is power when we have faith on Jesus. And like sometimes I tell people, it's like, you know, people come to me and they go, Roberto, would you please release an impartation into my life of the anointing? And sometimes I really do like to do a little interview. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with this impartation? Because you see me maybe shaking, maybe in touch by the Holy Spirit. You see me praying for people and getting healed. And you get too enthusiastic about this. You say, I want you to release an impartation of what you have. My question is, what are you going to do with it? Do you know the consequences of this anointing? It's a good anointing. It's not an anointing that has, it doesn't have any problem. It's a good anointing. Very good anointing. Just don't take me wrong. But let me tell you something. Every bad guys, if they see a truck with a lot of money, they go after it. If you have something precious, very precious, demons will come after you for that. And you need to learn then how to stand, not to let the demon take it from you. So that it was the problem of Adam and Eve. They had it, but they didn't know how to protect it. And the devil came and he took it them by tricking them with a little apple. I don't know why, because I mean, I think that's why I don't eat a lot of apples these days. I'm not being too religious. I'm just kidding. I really don't like a lot of apples. I'm like, God, help me not to like them a lot so I won't be tricked. But you see, you know, I want to protect. You know, I want to make sure that people know what they're asking for. You need to know what we're asking for. And God is willing to give to us. He will give to us, but he asks us first, are you ready? Are you ready for this? It's not because he's not ready. God has been ready before we were even born. He's been waiting for us for thousands of years. But sometimes, because we see someone else with something, we want the same thing. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So I grew up all my life, my walk with Jesus, always telling the Father, don't let me go on my own. God, I know sometimes I may be in such a hurry, but don't let me do it. I'm going to get hurt. And you know what? When you get hurt, when you fall down, when you get crushed, you try to hide yourself because you don't want anyone else to see you because you're so scared. So the anointing of God, it comes upon our lives. But the question is like, how do we use this anointing? How do we protect the anointing? If you look at something, Jesus protect us, but I believe that also, that Jesus also needs our protection. How do we protect Jesus? It's by protecting his anointing. So, you know, we've been in so many churches with Monica and we just came back from this conference, you know, and then I saw people who were desperate for the things of God, like really hungry people that I love. I love being among people who are hungry for God. You know, sometimes people, they expect the preacher to do everything for them. You preach, you lay hands on me, I need to receive. If I don't feel anything, you're not a good preacher. Next. I want to share a word about what it means to have faith. So I went to this church and I was watching people. And I asked the pastor the first thing, very humbled pastor. I'm going to be honest with you guys if you're all Koreans. A lot of Korean pastors that I've met, it's hard to really put a water and give it to somebody. Somebody always give them water. And it's not easy for them to drive somebody. And I've met about two pastors here that just so humble. This man drove us to the hotel everywhere with Monica. He was just like, I was like, and I asked him, like, Pastor, what do you want? You see, that's another question as a Christian. Don't just throw things in people. God, I pray for healing of, you know, like, you know, take off AIDS out of his life. I pray for, I rebuke, you know, I this and this. Sometimes we pray even things over people because we don't ask them. I had people cast out things out of me that I didn't have them. But I pray for the spirit of this to come out. I pray for the, and sometimes I'll just like, excuse me. I don't have what you say. I know what I want. Jesus says, what do you want? And people said, I want to see. And Jesus said, you may have your sight. People cry out and Jesus said, what do you want? Oh, Lord, my daughter is dying home. Let's go. Oh, Jesus, what do you want? My son is demonized. I want him to be set free. If a spirit come out of him. We need to ask people what they want before we throw things in them. Protect the anointing is by asking people. Because you may pray things that brings judgment into their lives. And they go, that pastor guy, he was so horrible. He came to me. He started casting out demons. He started praying. Say, I pray for the spirit of rebellion to come out. I'm not rebel. I love my parents. My parents loves me, you know. I know. I have done it before. I'm speaking of what I know. And I'm testifying of what I've seen. So I asked the pastor, I said, what do you guys want? And he said, I've been hungry for God. Our church is hungry for the truth of God's kingdom to come. I said, Pastor, God. Then I went before my father, said, Daddy, the church I was asked to speak, they're hungry for your truth. They're hungry for everything you have for them. Daddy, please release it. You can ask my wife. My wife. The Lord opened the heavens. I've never seen. Like, I've seen things. You know, we always use the word, I've never. You know. But it's just like, I don't know. This one, I think it was Monday night. Somehow, we were all worshiping. And someone was playing keyboard. I can hear this very strong sound coming out of the keyboard. Very heavy. Like, somebody's blowing blowing in the microphone. And people are just falling without anybody touch. I love when people even fall without me touching them. Because, you know, it's nothing to do with me. I'm just Papa's little boy who just, you know, go there and serve my daddy. Or serve with him. Do things with my daddy. But you see, I saw people who are hungry and I look at them, I'm like, wow. I love seeing hungry people after God. People just fix their eyes on Jesus. And I told everybody in our church, do not look to me. Look to Jesus. If you look to Jesus, all your problem will be fixed. Don't trust even in your religion in your mind. Don't think if I do this and this and this and this, God will be pleased with me. Look to Jesus. Do what Jesus wants you to do. And he even used a simple way to say, if you love me, you will obey my commands. That was very simple. He said, anybody who has a small faith like a mustard seed, you can remove the mountain to the sea. It was very simple. Just a little bit of faith. You can remove the mountain to the sea. He didn't say, you have to have the greatest faith. Just a little bit of faith. So these people have been hungry for so long. And then as we had the conference, and then God healed people. He healed people like, it's like I feel like the Lord, the angel of the Lord came back again and stirred up the water on the well. And people as they came into the well of healing, the pool of healing, God just started healing people. The Holy Spirit came and touched people. And then the only thing that I can prove that revival takes place is not when I see the same church have more, is when I see the church who always headed the Spirit of God say, we want it. That's when I say, this is revival. And all of a sudden, Monica came to me and said, hey, sweetie, there's churches that I know they like hate Holy Spirit stuff. They don't like, they don't even want to talk about healing. So religious. And the pastor, he wants you to go so bad and preach in his church. It's a very small church, but they so want everything that Jesus has for them. That is revival. And that's why I always taught so many pastors when I go to the States. They say, what can we do to have miracles, to see signs and wonders? I said, do what you see the Father do. Let Jesus take control. Let Jesus take control. Stay in the chariot, the fire, but let the Father hold the reins. He will direct you into the right place. You just hold the sword and fight, but let the Father hold the reins. You'll be safe. Don't take control of things. Be under his care. Be under his control. That's how I live as a little boy before my daddy. Every day we pray with my wife. All we want is to be under his control. Is to be in the Father's hands. Is not to be famous. But is to let the name of Jesus be known. And then we will do anything our Father tells us. We will preach anything Jesus tells us to preach. Because we believe that if we do what he says, when we ask him for something, he's also going to do it. He said, you can ask anything you want in my name, it will be given to you if you remain in me and I remain in you. Sometimes we want something from the Lord, but we don't care about him. Like sometimes I said, we love the blessing, but not the blesser. We need to love our daddy. You know, God loves us so much. But we need to understand that everything happens when we become sons and daughters. Not when you're orphan. Not when you're a slave. We need to move from a place of orphan into a place of sonship. Do not care about what people tell you. You need to stop living on other people's expectation. Don't try to satisfy everyone. Don't. Before we got married, I was so little frustrated because, you know, back home, and I think you, for those of you from the States, you understand, when people come to the wedding, they don't eat before you guys walk in. So, and I heard in Korea, people just walk in and eat and go, and people don't. And I'm like, can we have worship? Oh, we don't know if people are going to stand this. I'm like, I want us to worship him. So if we don't worship Jesus, I don't want to get married in the church. I'd rather just stay in my house and ask somebody to come and I'll play guitar and we sing hallelujah and we get blessed. I will soak in my own house. I say, I want the Holy Spirit to come. If the wedding that I am going to have with my wife, it needs to be the exact expression and representation of whom Jesus is and of the wedding that is going to take place in heaven. So I need the presence of God to come and my wedding. I said, I don't care about the food. I don't care about the tuxedo I'm going to wear. I said, I don't care. All I want is the presence of God to come. I want to give him the glory on my wedding day. Sometimes we think we only give God glory in the church. By the day we get married, we go, God, you understand me. It's my wedding day, Father. Come on. He wants to be a part of everything we do. If you go bawling, Jesus wants to go with you. Whatever you do that is good, the Father wants to be there with you. Because you know what? He wants to protect you from the wolves. He knows that if you go on your own, the wolves will be chasing you. But he wants to be right there to protect you. So, and then I said, I want worship. I want Jesus to be glorified. I said, I want the heavens open. I want to shake. I want to be touched by the Spirit of God. I want to see angels. I even wanted people to get saved on that day. I forgot to tell Mama Heidi. I wish she has called people who didn't know Jesus. Because that's the banquet table, the wedding in heaven. It's about all the lost to come into the banquet, into the wedding party. Jesus said, go and invite everyone to come. The wedding is about inviting the lost. The wedding is about inviting those who never been invited before. So I said, on my wedding day, and our wedding day, I want Jesus to be glorified. Me and Monica, I said, Monica, in order for you to meet me, you don't know where I came from. You know where I am from. I'm from Mozambique. But you don't know what has happened in the past. Jesus has done the work in my life. In order for you, Monica, to see me this clean from inside out, is because of Jesus. In order for me, Monica, to see you clean from inside out, is because of Jesus. So he deserves everything in our lives. It's not just for our parents to sit on a chair, you know, and everybody come and bench. I want everybody also to bow down before Jesus and give him and say, thank you for being a good father of this little brown skin boy. And I said, I want worship. I want worship to take place so people can taste and see that the Lord has been so good to me. Now break off the spirit of religion. We will have worship. And I told the worship, I said, worship Jesus. If you worship for 2 hours, keep going. If people want to leave, me and my wife will stay. Bring worship. And we began to worship. I didn't care what people said about us. Even when we, you know, in our reception, the Holy Spirit came and touched my wife and she was in the floor. Like I said, this is what I wanted. And I know some people probably say, she needs to protect herself. This is a very romantic thing. The romantic thing is to be with Jesus. She got touched by the Spirit. And I said, the party has begun. When Jesus comes, he makes everything perfect. He changed the water into wine. The party has begun. The new wine is coming. So when my wife got touched and we were praying, I remember my heart goes, the party now has begun. I said, yes, I love this. And I know some people probably say, she needs to protect herself. Monica needs to know that she's getting married. You know, she can, you know, do this in the church. She's the church. Shandai. She is the church. You see, we need to let Jesus be a part of every single thing. And everything is going to be fine. See, they didn't have wine until Jesus got there. And Jesus tell Mary, goes, women, don't you know that my time has not come yet? She goes, you guys get the water and do whatever he says. I remember pastor, he preached, he said, if you don't have wine, ask Jesus. He will make your party. Go prophet. And I said, I want worship. And as we began to worship, I remember we standing outside and I was just weeping. Just the presence of God. It's just like this sweetness of heaven. It just came. And I'm like, Daddy, you here? It's like, you invited me. Shay, he said, you invited me. You invited me, I came. And when he comes, you can feel the heat of heaven. You can feel the sweetness of heaven. You can see the presence of heaven. You can feel it. It just stays in you. It's not like this. And I said, I don't want a boring wedding. I want a burning wedding. A wedding that's on fire. I want to get hot on that day. I don't want this little, just a man, kiss a wife and go. I kissed her before we dated. It wasn't like the first day. I know some of you read books. Do not do what the book says. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, actually. I have my own life. You have your own life. Different gift, but the same spirit. You know, it's not about just standing over there and somebody say, do you take her? Yes, I do take her. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is the one who brings you, who makes you one. Sure. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes you one. He's the one that anytime you have problem, you're like, remember the day we invited you to our wedding? We ask you to come in a day of trouble because I know it was then that day. You two stay. Don't argue with each other. You two need to be in peace. That day when you got married, you said everything is going to be. You guys stay in peace. We only invite Jesus when we have problems. Sometimes. When we don't have problems, He stays away. How much do you love Him? How much do you care about Him? See, we need to involve Him in everything. We need to involve Jesus in everything. Every single thing. Jesus, He wants to be a part of everything I do. Either you play basketball, football, Jesus wants to be there. He wants to be there for you. He wants to be there with you to protect you, to help you. He wants to be a part of everything. Let Him be your daddy, not just your God in heaven. So the Holy Spirit came on the wedding day. And I told Monica, I said, you know what? This is the most sweetest things we ever had. And this is not from today. It's from years ago. My sisters, if my sisters were here, they would tell you this very same thing. I told my sisters, I said, the day I get married, I want Jesus to come. I have had dreams of Jesus coming to my wedding. I had dreams. I was getting married in the ocean. Even though I didn't get married in the ocean, I did get married in a heavenly ocean. I didn't get married in an earthly ocean. But I saw myself walking with my wife. And I saw Jesus just walking on the sea. He came. And I said, you coming to my wedding? He's like, yeah. I want to be here for your wedding. And I remember seeing even angels come. I said, it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And that's the day I said, the day I get married, I'm inviting Jesus to come and be with me. And the day we got married in Mozambique, it was exactly the same thing. So we were driving everywhere, people getting ready at the reception. And then we waited outside and it was raining on a river. Actually, we got married close to the ocean. It was close. Yeah, they were close to the beach. But you know, as we walk outside and we waited, I forgot I made a prayer before God before. Lord, the day I get married, I want all the poor to come. I want the lost to come. I want the homeless who never been in a wedding to come into my wedding. So we began to drive around. And I'm calling him like, why we keep driving? Why we can come? This is our wedding. We need to be there. They're like, Roberto, people are still coming. And they said, but there's so many people that they don't have any invitations, that they're waiting outside. The people you gave invitation, some of them didn't come. And I remember getting upset. And the Lord said, remember the covenant you made with me. I did not forget. You said you wanted what I want. I said, let them come in. Ha ha. They came in. And the room was full with guests. The Father's love. The Father's heart. I love preaching about power. I love preaching about the Holy Spirit come and shake people and do everything. But you know what? You can receive the Holy Spirit right now and get shaken and see angels, but go home, still feel lonely. But you may not shake. You may not manifest. You may stand still. You may see others manifest. But because you were dead, you will know that Daddy is here with me. So, hey, it's okay. It's their turn. My day will come. I've shared this before. I didn't get to go to school a lot. And so many people, they read very extravagantly. And I read like a little baby. And I'm saying, I'm a papa's boy. I'm not ashamed of who I am. I will never be ashamed of who I am. Because I know I'm very special. Curious little boy of the house. Daddy loves me. You need to accept yourself. You need to know you are daughter. Don't try to do anything to prove to people. Don't try to be who you're not. Don't try to wear someone else's clothes so you can look like them. Wear what you lack. God loves you just the way you are. He loves you. You're very special. In the book of Psalm chapter 2. Sorry, I know there was a different title in the thing, but you know what? I'm not sorry, by the way, actually. I use the word sorry, and I speak to myself, I'm like, why are you sorry for? You don't have to be sorry. You know, in the book of Psalm 2, verse 7, I will proclaim the decrees of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nation your inheritance. The ends of the earth, your possession. He said, today you have become my son, and I have become your father. Ask of me, I will give you the nations as your inheritance. He said, today I have become your father, and you have become my son. And I know it doesn't say daughters, and don't worry, ladies, when the Bible say doesn't say daughters, because the Bible calls us bride too. So, we're equal. You know, I mean, I know if you call somebody bride in San Francisco, man, people look at you weird. But we're living in the kingdom. You don't have to worry about that. So many times I know people say, does he say daughter? I say, yes. You are one of them too. So don't worry if he doesn't say son. He says you too. He says, God, he said, today I've become your father. You have become my son. And I've become your father. It's like, I feel like God is standing and said, hey, you're becoming my son today. Becoming my daughter today. I'm becoming your father. But you need to say yes. I want you to be my daddy. When you become a son, you need to know that when you become a son, a father gives you a key. You don't need to knock the door anymore. You have a key that you can open the house. And that's one something that I struggled with for so many years when I went to Iris Ministry. This blonde white lady with her husband, they always hug me. They say, come, you are a son. Come in into a house. You can eat whatever you want. And I'm standing over there. I'm like, white people don't treat black people like this. I'm not their son. I should be their slave, their servant, something. I'm serious. That's how I thought. It's what I thought. And Mama Hyde always told me, filho, Norberto, você é filho da casa. Norberto, you're the son of the house. And I cried. I said, why they keep calling me their son? It's not because I was black. No. It's because I did not know the importance of being a son. I didn't know what it means to be a son. I grew up being mistreated by my family. My stepdad beat on me every day. I lived in the street for so many years. I didn't understand what it means to be a son in a house. So today, and then I've been accepted this family. They're like, Jesus loves you. Norberto, you can open the fridge and take whatever you want. To be honest with you, Mama Heidi will tell me, you can open the fridge and eat whatever you want. And they will be standing with me and I want to open the fridge. By the time they left, I will open the fridge and eat like a thief. But I was a son in the house. Because I was given the freedom. But I did not open myself to accept myself as a son. I knew I was accepted as a son, but I did not accept myself to be the child of God. So every time Mama Hyde will leave, I'll open the fridge and eat something. When they come, they're like, are you okay now? I'll just close my mouth and try to hurt myself by swallowing things without chewing them because I was eating like a thief because I didn't understand what it means to be a child. And then it took so many years for me to understand that being a son is being free. You can make some mistakes, but not the same mistakes all the time. You can be silly. You can do whatever you want. But only what the Father is doing. And I remember it's just like, it took years for me just to embrace the Father. And I always got scared of God. Like if I made a mistake, if I would say something, I would run and find a place to pray and thinking God is going to just beat me like my stepdad always used to do. Oh, I didn't do this. Maybe I didn't, you know, somebody will ask me to do something. I'm like, no. And then I will feel so guilty that I have to go back and do it. Because I didn't know that a son can say no. And yes, more than that, it's evil. It's biblical. He said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And one day I remember 97 or 98. I was so excited and I was just running, going to the basin. And I began to sing this song. Jesus, you're my father. God, you're my grandpa. And then all of a sudden, I was like, oh no. I just called God grandpa. I'm in big trouble. I ran under the tree. And I knelt down and I began to pray, weeping and said, God, don't kill me, please. Please, don't send me to hell. I'm sorry for offending you. And as I began to pray, I felt this guilt in me. Like, why did I call Father God my grandpa and the Lord? And I remember, as I began to pray, tears were just coming. I heard a voice says, Norberto. Don't be afraid. If you are happy that my son is your father, I'll be more than happy to be your granddaddy. Stand up. And I'm like, is that really true? And God has said, I love you. You can be my grandchild, my grandson. I'm happy for you. I'm not condemning you. That was a language of heaven. It was not a language of the earth. It was the language of heaven. Then I began to accept myself as a son. And one day, it was a Valentine's Day back home, which is the same as like 12th of February, something like that. Whatever that day. You know. I went out with my friends. You know, Crystalline is my Mama Heidi's, you know, banana color, you know. She has a different skin than I am. So we went out on a movie, and I remember buying them. She was with our cousins and her friends. And I remember buying a lot of flowers, and I gave to them for the Valentine's Day. And I remember just after that, we went out to eat, and all of a sudden, I started feeling really sad in my heart. And this one girl, Christine, asked me, she said, no, Bertie, what's wrong? I said, all I want, I just want my daddy to come and give me a big flower and kiss me in the cheek and tell me everything is going to be okay. Whoa. And I said, he will do it because daddy loves me. He will never be late, never early. He's always in time. I went to bed. I fell asleep. I had a dream. I was walking in a hill of gold. A man came towards me with the biggest flower I've ever seen in my eyes. He gave it to me. He kissed me. And this man, he squeezed me in a way that I was so, you know, when somebody hugs you with love, your hands are just loose. I was just like loose. And I just stayed there. I remember getting up on my bed, holding on my pillow like this. And I can feel the overwhelming love of whom the one who loves me, precious Father Jesus. And as I walk outside, Christina was walking by my room. She looked at me. She goes, Norberto, may I ask you a question? She's like, remember what you told me at the restaurant last night? I'm like, yeah. She's like, did that happen to you? I go, yeah. She goes, I can see your face. You're different. I said, Papa loves me. I'm Papa's boy. Daddy's always been there for me. I love Jesus with all of my heart. No matter what happened in this world, no matter what the world will do to me, if people torture me, I don't take it for granted. If people beat me, I'm not saying it's going to be that cheaply easy in the answer to say, yes, I love Jesus. But I just said, no matter what happened, in my years to come, me and my wife, I will never, never turn away from my daddy because of what he did for me. When he stood in that cross and he said, forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they're doing. That was a word of love. He said, they don't know that today they have become my son and I've become their father. They crucify me without reason. They don't know. So Father, forgive them. After that forgiveness, as you read the Bible, says some people realized that Jesus was the Son of God. You need to embrace yourself as a son. When you come before him, like I said earlier, don't say you're stupid. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like your language. It's not a good language. It would be very harsh if Monica came to me and said, Norberto, here I come. My husband is like, I wouldn't like Monica to call herself stupid. If anybody calls her stupid, they'll be in trouble because I won't like it. She's precious. She's my love. She's the lover of my heart. And that name doesn't even get near her. No matter how you look, don't believe in what people say about you. You know what? Before I leave my house every day, I put my clothes on. I look myself in the mirror every single day and I said, boy, you look cool. And I walk outside. And when people look at me, they said, and I said, you don't know what you're doing. I look good because of my daddy. Believe on the name that Jesus calls you. The church has a problem today, a disease. And this disease is a lack of love. It's hurting so many people. People don't feel special in a church. People don't feel the value of love in a church today. Everybody gets too busy. No matter what kind of problem you have, if you are a daughter or son, you can come to your father. Daddy will help you. Call in his name anytime. Daddy's always been there for me. I speak about the father's love because I know what it means to be a son. I am Papa's little boy. He loves me so much. Then he said, ask of me, I will give you the nations as your inheritance and the earth as your possession. But first, become my son. Let me be your father. I will give you things that your eyes have. I will show you things that your eyes have never seen. I will take you to places you have never been before. Heaven, you only go when you are a son and not when you're an orphan or a servant or a slave. People have come to me and said, Robert, have you been in heaven? I say, yes, of course. Well, you're still alive. Did you die? I said, no, you don't have to. The heaven is not for the dead. It's for the living. You can go on a trip with your dad anytime. He can take you. I know some of you like, yeah, yes. You know what? It's because I'm not an orphan. When we got married, we didn't have a lot of money. And then one day I said, Daddy, we really do need money. We're out of money. And then we were invited to go to for lunch, actually. We were invited for lunch. And we went to one place that I don't like to be a lot. But we went to this nice restaurant, we're eating, and then all of a sudden somebody pulled up an envelope and said, this is your wedding gift. I'm sorry I wasn't there for your wedding. I want to bless your wedding. I'm like, thank you so much. And so we talk. So I remember opening the envelope. I'm like, wow, it's $500. And Monica said, no, Roberto, look it again. And I'm like, uh-uh. I thought it was $100 bill, but it was one with three zeros. It's $5,000. It was $5,000. When I received $5,000, I said, Daddy, thank you. I didn't even pray like an orphan. God, I know I was nothing before you, but because you are so precious. No. Daddy, thank you. I love you. Ask my wife. I didn't say so much. I said, thank you, Daddy. And guess what? More kept on coming. And more kept on coming. So much more kept coming. More kept coming. Because Papa loves me. And he loves my bride. He loves us. We are under the Papa's care. So there's nothing to fear. Be free. Be a son. Be a daughter. He's the best person who can say you look good more than anyone else. He's the best person who can speak the words of truth about who you are more than anyone I know. That's why in Iris we don't like the word orphanage even. Because orphanage is a place where orphans live. But when you have been adopted, you're no longer an orphan, you're a child of the house. And Mama Heidi said, doesn't want to use the word dormitory anymore. Like this is a dorm for the boys. We have names for each room. Some is called the house of fire. Some is called the house of love, you know, house of peace, house of joy, house of, you know, of gladness. It's just like we want names that brings heaven to them. Shit. We want a name that removes the past and brings the future. See, the language we speak, it can make us spin for 40 years in a desert, not be able to get into the promised land. Let's move. Let's move from glory to glory. Daddy has so much more. But you need to be a son. So, you see, I brought this to show you something. This is a key. You know, I brought this key. The Lord said, I want you to tell my people that when you become a child, you earn a key. You don't have to keep asking or like begging actually special. You just come to us and say, Daddy, it's me. I'm coming home. Just open your door. The children of the house have keys. Children have keys. When you're a child, your daddy, when you're a good boy and a good girl, daddy gives you the key. Trustworthy children. I'm not an orphan. I was a street boy, but now I'm a homeboy. Eu sou menino da casa. That's why I've taken my identity. Everything is easy for me because of Jesus. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, actually. I'm telling you this with the truth. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? But I know it's hard for us to embrace God because of our past, our background. You know, my sister used to say this. Sometimes people call me fat. I say, what do you call yourself? She said, not fat. I said, believe in what you say. Let them talk. They gave Jesus names, but Jesus never forgot who he was. He always knew he was a son of the living God. Some people give him name. He's a false prophet. He's this, he's that. And Jesus said, I'm the son of God. Who are you? Who's your daddy? Who loves you? Where's your daddy? So let's all stand, please. Mônica, posso dar alguém essa chave, por favor? Posso? Depois eu vou comprar. Posso? What's his name? What's your name? Your name? Larry? I needed to ask my wife for permission first, you know. We do things together. Larry, actually, this is not my key. I bought this key from my wife. Because whoever stays next to me, they have to have the key. Because I don't like to be awakening at night. It's the Father speaking to you. It's not me. What I'm saying is the Father speaking. He said, I don't like to be awakened. I like for you to be able to have access. When the disciple walked Jesus in the boat, he said, you men of little faith, how long shall I be with you? They had faith to stop the storm, but they didn't use. It means they had key to lock the storm. But they walked Jesus to use his key, and he was resting. Sometimes it's not good to wake your dad when he's resting. He wants you to just open the door and come in. He woke up, he stopped the storm, he turned around and said, you men of little faith, how long shall I be with you? It means Jesus said, I have given you everything. I'm getting tired of you guys just always. You guys need to use what I've given you. So I feel like the Father said, it's a symbol. After the Father said, I want you to know that you have access to me anytime. Let me put this, please. Yeah. Okay. This is a symbol of who you are. Not from today. It's from thousands of years ago. Before you were even born. God always wanted you to have a key. So you can come to the house and not to worry about the storms and the boat. If you see another storm today or tomorrow, don't wake Jesus. Let your papa rest. Because you are son, you have the authority. Because Jesus said, all the authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now I give it to you. That means don't keep on waking me up. If you see the storm, stop it because you're children. This is for each one of you. The authority has been given to you. Cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead. You freely have received, you freely give. Embrace the spirit of adoption that makes us cry, Abba, Father. He loves you. John Michael, yeah. You know, there's an anointing coming of a father very strongly. God is releasing it on you. You know, and God is speaking to you. Change the name. Change the name. No more orphans. He said, change the name. He said, if you change the name, changing the name is changing the identity. They take the identity of heaven. I know so many people who have been given names as children, names that mean curses. As they grew up, they began to understand that they have authority to go and change their change and took a name that brings life to them. The Lord has anointed you. Nabi is not today that I'm speaking. He has already. But there is an increase of the Father's love that is going to come to you in a very intensive way. And God has said, change the name. It will change their lives. Change your name. Don't you ever come before God and say, God, I'm nothing before you. You are something very precious that it was worth it to die for, that Jesus came for. You are very special. You are so precious that you are so precious that it's worth it for Jesus to die for. You are more than what you think. The angels, they want what you have, but they don't have it. The Bible says he never even called one of the angels, come and sit at my right hand, my son. But we have been called the sons, and the angels have been created to serve those who's going to hear it, salvation, which is you and I. The angels, they don't have what you and I have, but you and I, sometimes we take it and just use it like a toy, but it's a tool. It's not a toy. And then what I want you to do, I want you to begin to talk to your daddy with the language of heaven. You know, me and my wife, we have our language. We have our language. We speak kindly. When we have problem, when we have a little bit of problem, the last things that me and my wife will have to finish with, it's kindness. It's love. Last night we spent so many hours just talking about the beauty of who we are before the Lord. When you argue with someone, end with love. For love, Jesus died, and for love, Jesus was resurrected. So I want us to pray. I want you to really release yourself, and I just want you to be free from anything. You don't have to do a lot to please God. Just accept the fact you are a son. It will bless him more than anything else. You don't have to work hard. You don't have to worry about so many things. Just accept the fact that you are a daughter and a son. That will bless the heart of a father more than anything else. You can fast for how many days you want, but at least you know you're a son or a daughter. Everything, it's going to be the same. First, accept that you are a daughter. Very precious. Don't believe what they say about you. I want to even speak one word. Special, this is to the ladies. Do not let the world tell you lies. I know so many women that are dying from not eating enough. because they think the world says, if you become skinny, if you become like this, you will be accepted into the world. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. He loves you the way you are. Do not accept the stuff of this world. You are precious. Take care of yourself, but know that you're special. So, Father, we thank you. Daddy, I want to say this as a son. Lord God, I remember that prodigal young man. When he came, he said, I'm going to go home and ask my father to make me to be one of the servants. And your word says, when you saw him from a distance, when the father saw that young man from distance, he ran to him and he kissed him, put a ring in his finger. He brought him clothes, sandals, and he made a party. He said, my son was lost and now he's found. He was dead, but now he's alive. I'm so glad that young man remembered that he had a father. So Lord God, we come before you today. I'm asking you to release a healing, Lord Jesus. Healing of hearts set free. Hearts that are free to fly like eagle in the sky without worrying about people. God, we have lived for people's expectation. We have lived even a Christian life to please pastors, to please people. If I don't do this, I won't be accepted. God, I believe even if I don't preach, even if I don't do anything, if all I do is just to stay with you, if I don't do anything, Lord, you always love me. I'm always special to you. I'm not qualified by the work I do. You didn't give me this clothes for preaching. You gave me this clothes because I'm a son. So I ask you for healing. I just pray, Father, that you begin to touch our inner being. Because also, God, more than that, you said, we can ask you for anything. You will give us the nation as the inheritance. God, I thank you that I'm a son. And I'm asking you for the nation of North Korea as in my inheritance. I'm asking you for Iraq. I'm asking you for Saudi Arabia. We're asking you for China. We're asking you to give us the nation as our inheritance. Open eyes, God, to see what you see. And our ears to hear what you speak. I thank you, God. I thank you, Jesus, that for so many years I've lived without knowing how precious I was. People have lied to me. People have stolen from me. And today, Jesus, I can stand and testify about the beauty of your presence. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Daddy. Daddy, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Daddy, you mean all to me. You mean everything. You mean you make everything perfect. Thank you, Father of love. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have to beg you for revival. We don't have to beg you for visitation. You come to your children. You spoke to Jesus. You came to speak to Jesus. You spoke to Moses. You came to so many people. You called Samuel. You spoke to him because he was a son in the house. I break off the spirit of orphan. Let go of us. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Daddy. Daddy, I love you. Daddy, we worship you. I am free. I can stretch my wings and fly. Can spread my wings. Can spread my wings. I can spread my wings. Nothing will ever hold me back. Nothing, 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 nothing. What God has joined together, let not man separate it. We love you. We bless you. Today, until the day you come back, we love you. We love you. I pray that today and days to come, we walk in the malls, wherever we go, will be the reflection of the Father's love. To the homeless, to the broken, to a lot of young ladies and men who try to do things to try to find love, perfect love comes from you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.